Open up to a chapter you've never read before, Romans 8. But really, we haven't lost the subject where we were teaching right before I left. So let me refresh your memory. We were talking about merging the truths in Mark 11 and Luke 11. And Mark 11, most of you remember, is where Jesus cursed the fig tree, and they were amazed. They saw it wither away from the roots the next day. So Jesus talks to them about having the God kind of faith, have faith in God or the God kind of faith. And then he says, you know, you could ask the question, well, what is the God kind of faith? Well, the God kind of faith is that when you speak, you believe that what you say is going to come to pass. If you don't doubt, but believe, then whatever you say will come to pass. And you think about that, that's the like the purest almost definition. We can read back in Genesis how God created everything that is. He spoke it, and it came into existence. And Jesus is saying we're supposed to have that same kind of faith. But then he connected it up with the, you know, there's a word therefore, he says in verse 24. He says, now therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And for years I got off track on that verse. And the reason is my teachers, the popular ones at the time, they had some insight into the meaning of it. But at that point, we kind of got off base a little bit because it was like, now what does it say? Well, what things soever you desire. And so, in the early days, I mean, what things did I desire? Well, I needed a new Dodge Ram pickup. I needed my wife to obey me. she wanted a new house. I mean, you know, we could just go on and on. What things soever you desire, see. And so for years, I thank God just even for the limited understanding, again, that I had of that passage. Because just that, I mean, God's Word is so powerful. Just my limited understanding, employing those passages and what we knew about them, warded off terminal cancer. I was given 6 months to live. So what happened? I died. No, I didn't. You can tell. all of our children were rescued from the world. I could go on and on. Sue was delivered from an 8-pound blood mass that should have killed her. I could go on and on and on with the things that happened just from our limited understanding. But I always knew there was more. Well, then recently, while just assimilating the books again, and just going through the books, I was going through Mark 11, and this time, like a split screen in my mind, I saw Mark 11 on the right side of my vision, and on the left side, I saw Luke 11. So I started going over there, and just a reminder, the disciples, they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and I don't doubt that they did. They'd watch him go pray all night and spend these times alone with God, and then they'd watch him come out and have these campaigns, would you call them, these services, and power would happen, the blind would see, the lame would walk, and everything in the world would happen, and then they'd watch him go pray, and then he'd come out, and power would happen. So no wonder they'd say, would you teach us to pray? And then what he teaches them is the one that we have, the prayer that we all learned in Sunday school as when little kids. He gives them the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, so forth and so on. The same prayer we've all known since little children. Now I'm going, I'm not sure my understanding of that prayer is getting her done. You know, it's not a getting the same thing. There's got to be more here. So then, thank God, he goes on and he gives that parable. He says, now, which of you having a friend? You'd go to him at midnight. You say, I've got a friend that's come to my house and I don't have any bread to give him. One of the things in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is give us this day, or give us for the day, give us day by day, give us the bread that we need for today. Tomorrow it's give us the bread that we need for tomorrow. Well, that's a type and shadow of the manna, which we studied for a long time. And the thing about the manna, you had to get it daily. You could not store it. No matter what you tried, you could try and you could hide it away, and it would, if you did manage to hide some of it away, by tomorrow it stinks. That's the one, and God could have designed it any way he wanted. That bread, that manna, is more than just a type of provision, which we taught on that for a long time. It includes your provision. But what it's a type of is everything Christ is. In us, to us, through us. He is the bread. I am the manna. I am the bread of life. So in the parable, he says, now don't be thinking your father is like that guy behind the door that won't get up and give you what you need. You have to just wear him out. Don't be thinking your father's like that. He says, you know, you could wear even a guy out that had that kind of disposition. You could wear him out and get what you wanted. But how much more? I love those three words. How much more will your Heavenly Father give those things that you ask for when you come? He says, you ask and you will receive. You knock and the door will be open. You seek and you will find. And he says, if an earthly parent, if a child comes to you, you don't give him something different or something bad for him. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, in the way he says it in Luke 11, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? He's not talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The disciples didn't ask him about how to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They said, we want to know how to pray so that when we go out to minister, power happens. Power comes by the Holy Ghost. He is the molecule changer. And he's saying, if you'll seek that bread every day, if you'll go to your Father, your attitude's going to have to change. You don't be thinking he's not going to answer it. If you pray that prayer, you better be in an attitude of expectation. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit to deliver the bread of life. You're dismissed. That was good. I'm telling you. Isn't that good? Now you couple that back up over in Mark 11. What things soever you desire when you pray. Well, what he's talking about is praying for the bread, asking for that anointing. And to expect, if you're going to ask it, you better believe you're going to receive it. You better be in an attitude of, okay, Holy Ghost, let's go. It's you and me in the name. I loved Alan's message this morning. I don't know what all they're going to call that, but it just ties in so perfectly with this. There's two things I really remember that he said. Number one, about the devil, give it up. You can't negotiate with a crazy man. You know, you can say the same thing about your flesh. You can't negotiate with it. It's crazy. You're going to have to dominate it. Got that? Gary, how do you know that? Going on to another subject. You can't negotiate with it. All right. And the other thing I loved was that picture he gave about him and his dad going hunting in the snow. And here he is, a young man, you know. And I mean, you get out there away, you know, from the vehicle and you're out there in the mountains. Well, he doesn't have a clue how to get back to the vehicle. He doesn't know how to get back to safety. He says, but you know, I learned the thing to do is going through that snow. And he said, I learned the thing to do. My dad was a few paces ahead of me. As long as I just put my feet in his footprints, we always got back to the truck and we always got back home. I never had to worry about being abandoned. All I had to do was put my feet, just follow in the steps of my Father. Now, is that good stuff or what? Now, let's combine some of that up here. Romans 8. My understanding of this verse we're going to look at has changed dramatically since I started attending the prayer center. See, let's talk for a moment about following in the footsteps of your Father, your Heavenly Father. Now, that's really what we're trying to do, isn't it? It talks about that right here, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, in my early days, when I first started coming to the prayer center, and because that's a capital S there, I thought that meant, for as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. And there is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that in a minute. But really, if you leave it in the context, and this is what Dave, one of the passages he broke on the Born Again Trail, he says, this passage, up until verse 16, the Holy Spirit is really never mentioned in Romans chapter 8. Every time that the word Spirit occurs, no matter how it's capitalized or not capitalized in your King James Bible, it should be a little S. Because really the subject matter up to this point is talking about, instead of following the sin nature that you had before, learning how to follow the new nature, the Spirit, that Spirit which is of God, the Spirit which you received when you were born again, that nature of Christ. The new nature is not statistical. It doesn't give you phone numbers and addresses and things. But it's the green light, red light, caution light. It's your moral compass, and if you follow it, you're going to get back home. You're going to get home just fine. Can I say it that way? That's the first level of leadership. And you'll go, well, should I see that movie? I'm going to go in and watch that movie. And right over, there's that witness on the inside. You know, no, you shouldn't go see that one. You learn to follow that? or maybe I should invest here.
No.
It's more of a moral compass, really, than anything else. But if you'll follow it, it will lead you in the paths of righteousness, and that's the subject here. For as many as are led by the new nature, it'll help you if you just think it that way. For as many as are led by the new nature, they are the sons of God. That word sons, there are several Greek words for sons. This is the one that you use at bar mitzvah time. There's a word that for little babies. There's a Greek word for little babies. There's a Greek word for toddlers. It doesn't mean that you're not born of God here. What it means is, you know, have y'all noticed there's a growth process to following the new nature? Have y'all seen that? Have you noticed that? It takes you, the new nature is saying, well, I'll just use Gary. I'll be nice to you and me, you know. Just some of the things that, even certain foods that he wanted to, I told you about the 40-day fast that I received, you know. Meatless. But to a carnivore like Gary, that was a horrible thing, you know. But I did do it. And sure enough, it allowed God to change some things in me that needed to be changed. That's just one of many, many things we could talk about, okay? But that's the first level of leadership, is learning to obey the more common one that you can, I'll tell you right now, the new nature. Every time that you have hate in your heart or unforgiveness towards somebody else, I mean, you get spanked real quick. You get spanked by that new nature. You don't need a prophet. You don't need to get in a line or tell a lie. Tell a lie. Instantly, that new nature goes, nope. You're getting a whipping right there. You're getting a whipping from daddy. How? Through the new nature. So that's the first level of leadership. And that is also following in the steps of your Heavenly Father, because it's His nature that was first, we first saw it in Christ. Now that same nature is found in you. And there is a learning process to walk in those steps. I would call that walking in holiness. I would call that more learning how to walk in the steps of righteousness. But now there's another level. Go to Acts 16. There is also a leadership learning to walk in the steps of your Father when it comes to ministry. And now when I say ministry, I almost hesitate to use that word because everyone always thinks fivefold, pulpit ministry, that type of thing. What I'm really talking about now is delivering the bread. I'm going to give you an example even from our little week of vacation here, delivering the bread. Okay? Walking, learning to be led by the new nature, again, that is the first level of walking in the steps of your Father. The second level is learning then, if you're going to pray, Father, give me the bread. Father, this day I'm asking you for the Holy Spirit, Father, to co-labor with me. And Father, I expect that when I speak, things are going to happen. Why? Because you heard me when I prayed. I know the Holy Ghost is with me. If you'll go back to my face-to-face documents, one of the early ones was becoming constantly aware that the Holy Spirit is with me. Boy, it's easy not to be aware of it. And if you're not aware of it, it affects your faith. What he's saying here, he says, if you're going to pray and ask God for the bread, He manifests that bread by the Holy Ghost. So if you're going to pray, expect to receive it when you pray. And then be in an attitude of, me and the Holy Ghost, we're going about our daily things here. Now, we're going to see this in action here with Paul and Silas. They, Acts 15 won't work, by the way. Yes, verse 6. Acts 16, 6. Okay, and this is Paul and Silas. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now notice, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, see, that's more than a moral compass there. That's more than a green light, red light, yes, no. See, the Holy Ghost, He'll tell you things like, I want you to, you know, like He told Peter on the rooftop, three men are at the door. I have sent them. You're to go with them. That's visions and dreams come by the way of the Holy Ghost. We're going to see that here in this passage. So the Holy Ghost, the first level of leadership is learning to walk in righteousness, following in the steps of the new nature. And that really has a lot to do with restraining the flesh and overcoming your soulish desires, just like Alan was teaching this morning. But the second level now is start following, or let's say it this way, walking step walking in tandem step, lockstep with the Holy Ghost? How many of you know it's better to follow His leadership than yours? Well, watch this. See, I love this passage because it's the perfect example of what we're all trying. I used to read this and go, is this kind of leadership possible? And I have found out, yes, it is. So they had finished their assignment. They'd gone through that place and the region of Galatia. And they were thinking about going to Asia, but they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, most of you know this. They're only forbidden at this time. Later on, they did go to Asia. Asia is Ephesus in this context, and they spent 2 years of wonderful ministry there. But Jesus is alive. He has a timing. And the most common prayer request that I still get in any line that I'm ever in, this church and other churches, is direction. And I know what they want. They want me to hear God and tell them what to do. Okay? Once in a while, when I say once in a while, I mean like once or twice a year, that may happen. Most of the time, that's not the way He has me pray. Now, I don't tell them this, but I do pray that they have direction. What I'm really praying is that they'll have enough gumption, endurance, to go pray. Because that's how your direction comes. He doesn't want you to be led by this prophet and that prophet, and that's, prophecy has its place. Like Dave says, he says he's almost embarrassed now that he's so insensitive to, if he's insensitive to the voice of the Holy Ghost, that God has to speak to him through a prophet. Because God, he says, wouldn't God rather directly just speak to me himself? Well, of course he would. Now, sometimes we're just blind in certain areas and just won't hear it, and he'll try more than once to get it across to you, but if he has to, he'll get a prophet or somebody and they'll bring that word to you. So there's a place for that. But now let's watch this here and here. So that first they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then they came to Mysia and they assayed. That's a good word. Like they used to take gold and they would take it to the assayer. They're weighing in the balance. They're weighing in the balance whether or not to go to Bithynia. But notice the Spirit, and that should be a capital S. The Holy Spirit suffered them not. Why would the Holy Spirit do that? Now, you remember what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost? He says when He comes, He's not going to speak of His own. In other words, He's not going to speak on His own authority. What He hears, that's what He speaks. Now, why would the Holy Ghost forbid it? Because it wasn't the mind of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. And the timing wasn't right to go to Bithynia. I mean, does God love Bithynia? Well, sure He loves Bithynia. But there's a timing for your ministry. There's a leadership. What we're talking about today is walking in Daddy's footsteps. On your daily walk, walking in Daddy's footsteps. Now watch this. So they thought about going there, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now here we go. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. How clear is that? How clear is that? That's more than I felt led. Why are y'all going to Macedonia? Well, I just felt led. You're at the wrong church for I felt led. I'll just tell you right now. The Holy Ghost hasn't changed His operation. Jesus hasn't changed His operation. If you pray, your biggest problem is not going to be, I can't hear God. If you really do this message, your problem is going to be, I heard God. You're not going to believe what He said. I probably will. Like Jimmy Miller and I said, we're going to start a Bible school and the name of it's going to be, God, You Said What? Because every time you hear from Him, He thinks all things are possible. He always talks to me like I've got money. Like I can afford stuff. Like I have a rich father or something. Anyway, now notice in this case, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Now I was thinking about that in the light of Alan's message this morning. Because I had a vision from God. Remember he was telling us about that, and he was praying, just walking, and he started walking a map of Canada, and there was a particular town named Medicine Hat. Which, by the way, I've delivered trucks to Medicine Hat. I heard people laughing, they thought it was a joke. No, it's really a city named Medicine Hat. I've delivered trucks there. So he had this vision years and years ago, and then it's like opportunity after opportunity has come that In the natural, if you're going to be led by circumstances, you'd think, well, that has to be God. But thank God he's prayed enough to be able to distinguish God's voice. And the Spirit suffered him not. Could I say it that way? More than once, the Spirit has suffered him not. So, do you have... Now, in this case, they immediately set out for Macedonia. But see, you've got to take the whole Bible. Remember Joseph? He had a vision of his parents and his brethren bowing down to him. I did a study one time. You know what happened to Joseph? Did that happen immediately? Altogether, that 13 years and then on through the famine and everything that happened in his imprisonment time, from the date that he had that vision till the day they bowed down was 22 years. 20. Everyone say out loud. 22 years. All right? And did Joseph make that happen? God had to make that happen, didn't he? But what was Joseph's job? Stay true to God during all that time. He served God in the prison. He served God in Potiphar's house. No matter where he was, all we ever hear about Joseph is he served God. So you got to take both of those. Just because God gives you a vision doesn't mean you're going to set out tomorrow and it's going to come to pass. You got that? All right. Let's talk about this in a practical way. Because Sue and I have both been trying to, of course, we endeavor to do what we teach, you know. So here we've been on vacation. First one we've been on in 5 years. We didn't go very far because her mother's 86. My mother's 89. My dad is 90. We need to be close to town. So we went to Branson and Eureka Springs, where in an emergency we can be back in 4 hours if we were needed. And we had people here to check on them, and a lot of people helped, and they were fine. But we're trying to remember, and normally I tell you about things that mostly, you know, through me. I'm going to tell you some things about my wife this time. Now, she's not here. I'd probably have to tell my stuff. Well, you know, she doesn't want to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing and that type of thing. But listen, I was just so impressed. I was watching how the Lord used my wife. Now, we're there to have fun. The idea was to get a time of refreshing, and we did. We did go-karts. We did bumper boats. Y'all ever been in bumper boats, or they got that water gun on the front? And God put me in a boat that where the gun goes as a high arc. Every time I'd try and squirt Sue, it'd go clear over the boat. Hers was a direct shot. You know, I mean, we went through the world's largest toy museum. Boy, if you see some of those shows over there, like I would recommend the Ball Knobbers to you. At the end, the Ball Knobbers are the oldest show in Branson. And at the end of it, I mean, you're on your feet. They're singing, "I'm glad to be a Christian." And they got and then there's patriotic songs, and I mean, you know, it's wonderful. There's no gambling that I can see anywhere there. There's very little in the way of alcohol available. Thank God they're somewhere still good to go, you know. All right, enough of that. I'm not really advertising for Branson and Eureka Springs. Now, in the course of it, here's just one of them. There's a place in Eureka Springs called Thorn Crown Chapel. A man built this years ago. It's open to the public for free. They exist strictly by free will donations. It's a place of beauty. There's just no way to tell you about it. You have to see it. It stands 48 feet tall in the Ozarks. It's all faiths come. They have church services on Sunday, all faiths. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. Well kept. And so we went there and we were enjoying it. We just sat there for a little while and just soaking in the atmosphere of God. And there was like maybe seven or eight other couples in the place. Just a beautiful spot. And we're leaving, and Jim and Kathy Martin were with us. And so me and Jim and Kathy, we go on out we're just looking at some other things that they had there. Sue came out and she came up to me and she says, "I'll be back in a few minutes. Something I got to do." So she turns around and goes back in there. Well, inside of Thorn Crown Chapel, there's just a little lady sitting there. She's the lady. There's a piano music playing. It's recorded. And there's a CD for sale, like $10 or $11, not asking much. It's got that lady's picture on it. You can tell that's the lady who did the piano thing. She's very well dressed and very prim and proper and very nice. And she gives you a little brochure when you come in, you know. Doesn't say a word. Well, Sue, she turns around and goes in there. Comes up to that lady real quiet. And says, "The Lord told me to give you $20. The Lord told me to give you $20. The lady immediately just starts crying. She said, I have to drive and take care of my brother every day. And I told the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I've got enough gas to get there. I don't know how I'm going to get home. Could you give me $20 today? Sue said that's the highlight of her trip. Better than the bumper boats. Better than the go-karts. Better than the toy museum. Now, is that not walking in the steps of our Father? Now, it's wonderful to be, it is more blessed to give. We've been on that receiving side so many times, and I thank God for His blessing us. It is so nice once in a while to be on the giving side, to be the one delivering the bread. So you know what Sue did? Says, well, I've learned in the past, I can't give you from Him more than what He said. But I can purpose in my heart, I'm going to give you another $20. Man, isn't that good stuff? Isn't that good stuff? Earlier in the week, while we were in Branson, Sue and Kat, you know how women, they'll go to the bathroom at the same time. Men don't do that, but women do. And so her and Kathy, they went after breakfast, and they were, you know, washing their hands and whatever. And there's a lady in there that they noticed that's got something's wrong, a rash, or it's more than a rash. Sue said, I never saw the lady. Sue told me about it. But it was something bumpy all over her right hand, the back of her hand, and about halfway up her arm, just looked terrible. And so they asked the lady about it. Now, I may not have all these details exactly correct, but she'd been to the doctor. They'd given her creams and stuff, but so far nothing had worked. And so right there in the bathroom, people coming in, going out, can we pray for you? She said, you most certainly can. Now, we didn't get to see the manifestation of that one, but I love that picture. My wife, Sue, and Kathy Martin in there praying down the bread for this lady's hand. Let me tell you about another one. Now, see, we're talking about walking in the steps of your Father. If you're going to pray for the bread, you got to be ready to deliver the bread. That's the whole thing. See? And you got to be listening. You got to be observant. You got to be aware that you're a bread deliverer. I like. Do you like that? He's trying to get us in that awareness. And it's not just, you know, we keep thinking revival. We keep thinking lines. We keep thinking miracles. All that's coming. But hey, you can have revival in the bathroom at the Dockers Inn in Branson, Missouri. You know? You can have revival in Little Thorn Crown Chapel. Just God just getting to do whatever He wants to do. We went into a little library. It's a pretty small library. It's on a historical register of historical places. And this one's in Eureka Springs. And we just wanted to see it. And they invite you to come in and see it. So we went in and we're looking around, and it's very unusual. It's about 100 years old, you know. We're looking around this library. And old Colonel Gary, I'm just eager to help. I've been to Eureka Springs a lot of times, so I kind of know the town. So I feel like the tour guide. I'm showing Jim and Kathy all this stuff, you know. Well, I'm ready to go on to the next thing, so here we go. We're going down outside and down the steps, and I look around. There's no Sue. Where's Sue? And I said, well, I think she's still in there. Well, after a little while, you know, here comes Sue. And she said, later on I asked her what happened. See, this is not the first trip I've taken with Sue. So later on I'm asking her, I said, okay, why were you in the library? I knew she wasn't reading in there. She said, well, did you notice that young man about 16, 17 years old that was sitting in there? I said, yeah. She said, I'm not saying that the Lord told me, but I just knew that he's homeless. Homeless. And so I just sat down there by him and started talking to him. And I just gave him a little bit of money. And I just started telling him. I said, you know, Jesus will help you. Jesus loves you. There's nothing he won't do for you. And she said, I just spent just a few minutes just telling him about Jesus. And that if he'd start asking Jesus for help, he'd get it. Bread delivery day. Isn't that good stuff? Now, see, I could go on and on. After Sue tells me stuff like that, then I feel like a... I'm after going, all right, now what's the deal? We're supposed to get on to this next thing we're supposed to see, you know, and so you get real humbled, you know. See, have y'all figured it out yet? God uses imperfect people? Have you figured that out? Now, I've had my times too, you know. But the beauty thing is, where he's trying to get us, people, revival, when revival comes, it's not just at the church. When we're, go ye into all the world. Tomorrow, many of you, you're going to jobs, you're going to all these different places, you're going into all, you know, you're going into the world. Well, that's, they need the bread. They need revival. And they need a group of people that have prayed enough to sharpen, can I say, hone your ability to hear the Holy Ghost? And then just do those simple things. It doesn't start with, like, again, like Alan said today, it doesn't really start with a $1 million check. It starts with the $20. It starts with us. It started, I remember years ago, putting pocket change in the offering. It starts there. But look at somebody and say, you're a bread deliverer. You say, you and the Holy Ghost, you deliver the bread. We're going to say it this way. You're going to deliver bread tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Huh? Isn't that what he said? He says, your Heavenly Father, how much more is He going to give you the Holy Ghost? To do what? What was the question? To deliver the bread. We've got to become aware constantly that He is with us. And this is the second level now. And again, this goes right back to Alan's message this morning. It's amazing to me how the Holy Ghost ties all these thoughts together. Alan goes, he has no doubt that the day is going to come, that vision will come to pass, where God gives him this ministry and that ministry in Canada and probably in Medicine Hat. But he said, it's not to be of Alan's making. And it's really not to be of man's making. It's to be made by the Holy Ghost. So he said, so what's my job in the meantime? It's just like when I was a child, just like going through the woods with my father. My job is to make sure that I'm putting my feet right in the footsteps of my father. God, isn't it good? See, and he was talking about that word abandonment. Go to John 14:18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. That word there in the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. It's just what you think it is. I will not leave you as orphans. What is an orphan? An orphan has been abandoned, either intentionally or by the death of his parents, but one way or another, an orphan has no one to lead him, has no one to guide him, has no one to provide for him. And Jesus says, I am not going to leave you that way. He says, I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth. Look at go to chapter 16, verse 13. It says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Not force you. Guide you. He has come to lead. You are not an orphan. Let me say it this way. He is going to lay out in front of you the Father's footsteps for you. He's going to lay it out. You'll get it. Should we go to Bithynia? No. Should we go to that other place? No. Well, where should we go? In a vision. Or a dream. Or a word. Or a voice. It could come by a prophecy. Somehow, the Holy Spirit will bring you the mind of Christ, which is the footsteps of the Father. It's where, if you just follow those footsteps, you're going to be safe every time. You're going to accomplish what He wants every time. That is ministry. It doesn't matter if you have a worldwide or a website or anything. Ministry, real ministry, is delivering the bread, people. It's the $20. A lady prays in Arkansas. I need $20 today, Father. Send someone from Tulsa, brings the $20. Glory to God. That's ministry. Now, it starts at that level. Wait till somebody says, I need new eyes. I need a new brain. Just a minute, I need to pray that right now. Father, there's no limit with Satan. And once we start learning, it's not us, it's the Holy Ghost. Then what is not possible? See it? It's not hard for Him. But those that are led by the Spirit of God. So let's go back to the beginning. I'm going to start wrapping this up now. Level number one of that leadership, and you don't have to be perfect at it. You just have to be working at it. I don't know anyone that's perfect at walking perfectly after the new nature. I don't know anyone that never loses their temper. I don't know anyone that never gets discouraged. I don't know anyone like that. Do you know anyone like that? Well, maybe Dave. He's close. I mean, you know. But really, I don't know anyone perfect, so I know for sure you don't have to be perfect. But He does require you be on that path, that you be working at it, giving yourself to it. But then the second level, now you start listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, because He is the one that brings you the mind of Christ. By vision, by dream, by revelation, by voice. Sometimes you just know and you don't know how you know. Yes, sir. And your great enemy right there is your own soul. Your own soul. I'm telling you right now, as soon as you hear from God, the enemy is going to unleash an entire herd of yabbits. Y'all all ever hear? You know what the yabbits are? I want you, you know, here come, I know what God sounds like. It's Charlton Heston. I saw the team. I want you to do this. Yabbit. Do you know I don't have any money? Do you know this? Do you know that? Yabbit. Yabbit. What will my friends think? Yabbit. What will my folks think? Yabbit. How will I pay for my car? Yabbit. Whole herds of yabbits. Your job is to hear Him, obey Him, and watch it come to pass. Does that mean... Yes, sir. Now, in the early days, and there's books on this subject. I'm going to just tell you now, they're not true. They'll tell you if you find the will of God, you know, He opens doors that no man can shut, and He shuts doors no man can open. Well, I know that verse is in the Bible, but the way they lift it out and make it sound like is like this. If it's really God, every door will open. It's like every circumstance will just be opened. Everything will just... I have not found that to be the case. In fact, once I really know that that's the path right there, God wants me to do that right there, the first sound I hear is the devil slamming every door shut on that path. Nobody wants to go with me. Nobody wants to help. There's no money to do that. Everything in the world will come. Bam, 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 bam. Every door shuts. And that's now I've learned, that's probably God. I probably heard God. All right, in the name of Jesus. I'm praying the bread now, Holy Ghost. We've got to start opening these doors, you know. And you pry them open by faith in the Holy Ghost. And in that process, you get matured too, you know. No one said it was easy on the emotions. I've not found it to be easy on the emotions. Oh, I love it. I'm not bragging on Alan. He just did a good job. That place, wasn't that a wonderful way to describe that place of peace? See, if you live in your soul, I don't know if you figured this out yet, most of the time there's turmoil there. And, you know, he thought, okay, I'm going to fight this round and then there'll be a resting time. No. No, you don't even get that corner time. You know, your soul nearly always, how did somebody say it one time? You're either in a fight, coming out of a fight, going into the next fight. That's the way I found it to be. And it's that peace is not in the soul. The peace is in your spirit. Somehow you learn to live above that. And the way God got it across to me was years ago in flying airplanes. I have took off in airplanes in tremendous storms. Storms where I thought, are we sure we should be taking off? You know, they're booming and crashing and raining and you know, they're out on... I'm beginning to think, maybe I should have booked a later flight. I'm not sure if we ought to take off. And man, we're taking off and going up through the clouds. And I mean, it looks like we did wrong, man. This is bad. There's all kinds of turmoil. But eventually, you break above. And you know what's up there? The sun is shining. It's bright blue sky. Do you see all that? I've been above the clouds and watched that lightning flashing down there. Turmoil is going on like crazy. And that's a perfect picture of what Alan was talking about. There is a place in your spirit where you can live in peace above the storm that's in your soul. It's a place, it's an elevation place. It may take a while for you to learn how to get there. Because most people live down in the storm. But that storm can be going on. Jesus drew he drew another analogy. They didn't have airplanes in his day. He said that storm can be beating on the house, beat on everybody's house, you know. He said, but the one that learns to do my sayings, it'll beat on his house, but his house won't fall. He's in there by, I like the way Dave says it. Oh yeah, the storm's beating. He's in there with his Bible. Storm's crashing against the house. He's reading the Word. There's a nice fire in the fire. Well, not today. The air conditioner's working good. It's like 90-something here. He's eating some kind of snack and enjoying himself. He's in peace right in the midst of the storm. Boy, that is so true. You learn to walk in the steps of your Father, you'll find that place of peace. And it's not in the soulless realm. You learn to live above that. You are not really a soulless creature. You are a spirit creature. You have a soul. And that thing is going to quit dominating you. You hear me? Look to somebody and say, your soul is going to quit dominating you. You're going to learn to live by your spirit. Above the turmoil. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff? Is that good stuff? Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'm just going to say this to you. I'm just going to remind you again now of that Mark 11, Luke 11 thing. Listen, be praying that every day. Get in the habit. And it doesn't have to be early in the morning, but it has to be early in your day. Another attribute of the manna was this. In the heat of the day, it would just melt away. Well, I used to teach, that means you got to get up early in the morning. But that doesn't work for people that work the night shift now, does it? But what he means is, early in your day, before your day gets hot, before your day gets so busy, you need to get alone with God. Say, God, it's another bread delivery day. There's going to be people coming. I need bread, Father. Father, I'm believing because I'm asking you now. Jesus said, if I ask, knock, seek, you'd give me the Holy Ghost to deliver the bread. This is going to be a good day, Father. Me and the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, we're going to deliver your bread to the people. Get used to doing it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I think that's good enough for tonight.